This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by American Can Cars for Kids and by the personal injury lawyers of Frankel and Frankel. If you've been injured in a wreck and it's not your fault, call 214-333-3333 or online at truckwreck.com, Principal Office, Dallas, Texas.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Want to get everyone's historical thoughts about Russell Westbrook. Do you feel like... So I feel like a lot of times when people talk about him, it's kind of in a meh or negative context. He just logged his 181st triple-double over the weekend, which ties Oscar Robertson for the most in NBA history. So clearly he will set that record and hold that record all by himself. He also has 25 post-All-Star game triple-doubles, which surpasses Wilt Chamberlain for the most in NBA history. Now, I know the game has changed and everything like that, but when you're on a list where you just passed Wilt Chamberlain and you're about to pass Oscar Robertson, I am curious, where do you guys think that Russell Westbrook will fit in the pantheon of NBA greatness? Because I feel like he doesn't get a whole lot of conversation.
I think he's going to fit better 30 years from now when everybody who looks at his numbers never saw him play.
Okay.
So I think people will go, my God, like, why is this guy not considered a top 20 player, or a top 40 player in NBA history? And I think you're going to have old people like us that are 60-something years old go, you know, he was really good at stats. And they all count, the, you know, all the assists count, all the rebounds count, all the points count. But it never really led to wins, and guys didn't really enjoy playing with him. He didn't seem to make teammates, like, a lot better. So, like, all those things count. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, and he's going to have the most triple-doubles ever. But I think when it comes to people that never saw him play and look at stats, I think he's going to be looked upon better when people who didn't cover him slash watch him play are kind of out of the picture.
Yeah, and to Mike's point, Kevin, we all think of Oscar Robertson as an elite player, right?
Yeah.
Because of, like, look at his stats. But did we see him play?
No.
I never saw him play.
Yeah.
Nope. But we look at his stats and we're like, dude, like, how could he not have been? You have to have that guy on your team. How many championships did he have?
One with Luau.
One. And I guess that's what I'm trying to really, like, get home is all these and everything, but do they translate into championships? That's what NBA legends are judged by. That's just the way that it is. You talk about Michael Jordan, 6 championships, he's perfect in the finals. Would it have been the same if he'd have stuck around those 2 seasons? Who knows? With LeBron James, all those things, it goes back to his finals appearances. And now we're judging him on, hey, you went the most times, but at the same time, you didn't win the most times. You know, like that argument of how many times he went and everything. And then Kobe's standing, Larry Bird, all those guys, the conversation starts with, you know, where the championships were. If you weren't even in the championships, you very rarely get included in the conversations.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody, they talk about these guys, and then Barkley, who was a really good player, just pushed off to the side. Karl Malone just pushed off to the side, even though he was one of the top scorers ever. So, like, as great as Oscar Robertson was, he had one championship. And with Russell Westbrook, he's minus one at this point. He got to one and lost. I guess the knock on him earlier was he has all the athletic ability to be the most dynamic athlete in the NBA, but he can't put it together between the ears on the court whenever it matters the most. And then did egos cause a bigger problem, a bigger conflict with him and maybe one of the best running buddies you could have asked for?
How much of that, I've always wondered, and unfortunately we don't have enough insight to know, but like I've always wondered who ran the ego parade bigger, you know, because it sure does seem in the aftermath when Kevin Durant will destroy anyone in his burner phone that he dares say anything about him, when you see him jump from team to team, and when you see Russell Westbrook in the aftermath of KD leaving, he's like, yeah, I'll sign a contract and I'll stay here until you guys don't want me anymore. Now, I know obviously that time came along, but I do wonder, like, whose ego forced it more? Probably both, but
yeah,
I wonder.
I get a little bit of an insight because working up at used to be Fox Sports Southwest, obviously haven't been up there in a while, but talking to the people who get to cover Oklahoma City basketball, because it's covered here. If you don't know, it's all out of the same building there where now Bally Sports Southwest was. And they would say Russell's obviously more of an alpha personality. But the problem with Russell is not that he's a bad guy or a bad teammate or anything like that. He never understood the difference between the first 3 minutes of a basketball game and the last 3 minutes of a basketball game. He's going to play at the same pace, same everything. And they would say he really struggles with the last 3 minutes on this is how you control the tempo. This is how you want to play when you're up by five. This is how you want to play when you're down by five. This is how you want to play in the last 1 minute of a basketball game when it's a three-point game. And from what I got, from what I understand from the people who cover Oklahoma City, and I know he's not there anymore, is as he grew into this pretty complete basketball player besides shooting, horrible shooter, pretty much always has been, he could never understand as the alpha how to control or how to play the last 3 minutes of a basketball game, and to this day still struggles with how do I control the tempo and the flow. One of your favorite players in the NBA today, who's really good at it. Chris Paul's really good at it. Now, it hasn't led to any championships. It hasn't led to any, right, you know, going to the NBA finals. But they say, you know, Chris Paul, when he was there in Oklahoma City, like one thing that they're like, wow, this is how you play the last 3 minutes of a basketball game. Even though he had less talent there, this and that, this is how you control the game. This is how you impose your will in the last 3 minutes, where they would say Russell Westbrook, one of the reasons that he just hasn't had the ultimate success in playoff basketball is he doesn't understand the difference between the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes of a basketball game.
Man, just I will say, Mike, you're right about his numbers, dude. Like his, you just go look at his pro basketball reference numbers and just see, you know, how many years he's been averaging 23. You know, you take that in particular, and then you add all the other things that he does on the court with his steals and assists and everything. Like, he is it looks like on paper he's one of the best to be a teammate with, because you can do everything with him and he can do everything. But you got such a valid point about, you know, how much he developed with the rest of it. He can do all those things. You just really have to have somebody that understands the timing of it late in games to help him along. And then that became a problem too of who takes the shot. You know, who is the guy with that specific Oklahoma City team? Because, well, they didn't think KD was the guy. Russell's clearly the guy. And then if he messed up, well, it's clearly KD. So it was just this constant, like, mess with his head thing, too, that happened.
And then when he lost KD, he did have Paul George. It wasn't like when he lost KD, it went to nothing.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
He did end up having so, I mean, he got to work with, obviously, Harden and Durant, and then it was just Durant with other good role players like Serge Ibaka around him and stuff like that. And then it became, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to sacrifice, and we're going to give you Paul George and Carmelo Anthony and see if this works out. And that really didn't work out. Then he had to do it kind of on his own for a second, and that's when he won MVP, if I have my years correct. He's a great player. He's going to go down as, statistic-wise, one of the 5 to 10 greatest players in NBA history with stats. It's just, if you were around this time, if you watched him, it's going to be tough to ever put him in, oh, he was one of the 5 greatest players from 2005 to 2020, because you're going to be like, you know, when you really look at it, like, Curry's numbers don't really compare when you look at overall numbers besides
scoring.
But you
would think he's...
But you'd say Curry's a way better basketball player than Russell. Like, I'd way rather have Curry on my team than I would Westbrook. I got a lot of issues with Westbrook to deal with, and not off the court. It's just like, how he controls the tempo of a game, especially at the end, versus Curry's going to know how to win games in the end.
Now, by the way, speaking of Steph Curry, have you seen the scoring battle happening with him and Bradley Beal? It's going to be tough for Beal, though, now that he, I think he banged up his ankle. He might not be able to play again, but Beal dropped 50 points to move his scoring average up to 31.4 per game, and Steph Curry responded with 49 points. He is now up to 31.8 per game. A reporter asked him if he was aware of what Beal had done, and he goes, yeah, I know what he's trying to do. And so, like, he's well aware, and it kind of reminds me of the old, was it Olajuwon and David Robinson, where was it David Robinson who scored like 72 yes. points in the yeah. last game of the regular season to win the scoring title?
I think he scored 73 points on the final night of the season so he could have the scoring title, which goes to show you, I just wonder, Corey, if we would have seen the game played today the same way in the 90s, what would have Robinson, Jordan, Olajuwon? There was a lot more like right triangle offense, and the ball has to move and everybody needs to touch it. The ball has energy. And I'm not saying every team plays the Luka Doncic way, the James Harden way, but like, what if you just like, yeah, we're going to just feed David Robinson every single play. He has to touch the ball every single play. Like, what a Robinson could have done. Or if Jordan ran a system the way that you ran a James Harden Houston system, or the way that you run a Dallas Maverick Luka Doncic system, would Jordan have averaged 50 a game in those type of offenses?
Probably so. If
I
he
could
wanted
see
to,
it too.
If that was his goal, I think Jordan could have done anything that he wanted to in a different era. I'm just looking though, like Steph is. You said 31.9, Kevin.
I thought it was 0.8, but I'll buy 0.9.
But yeah, my numbers say 0.9 right now. Luka's at 28.2. Like he's
pretty
what
damn
averaging
good.
just under 3 points less than him. And this is the number that I was. On average, Steph makes 5.4 three-pointers per game. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
On average, Luka makes 2.9. So, like, that just shows you how much Luka's points are in around the basket, like getting to the basket. But also, like, his three-point percentage has gone up this year, but getting to the basket and doing what he's doing too.
Mike, I got a fun note for you. What is the worst NBA basketball team you've ever seen?
Oh, probably our Mavericks in the early 90s.
The 1992-93 Dallas Mavericks, in a 10-game span, they got outscored, or excuse me, in a 25-game span, they got outscored by 489 points. That had been the worst margin in NBA history until...
Was it Oklahoma City? Did they take it?
Oklahoma City Thunder,
yes.
In their last 25 games, have been outscored by 490 points. That is the new worst in NBA history, surpassing the Mavericks team that had gone 11-71. And I remember the Dallas Morning News ran a side-by-side comparison between them and that 76ers team for the worst team in NBA record history.
You know what's going to be interesting?
Go ahead, Mike.
What's going to be interesting is Oklahoma City, when they got that team, they immediately had Durant and Westbrook.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, because coronavirus has stopped this, they're going to be a bad team, I think, again next year, and then we'll see what they do with their draft picks and all that stuff. But I just wonder, Oklahoma City has supported that team tremendously, but they've never had to support a bad team in their history. I'm just wondering how Oklahoma City, because when the Mavericks are bad, we don't support them here. I mean, we'll get 6,000 to 10,000 people at the game. I'm just wondering how Oklahoma City is going to handle possibly the next few years with a bad team.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly! Parts.